Today in the Gospel, Jesus gives us three parables of His mercy. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. These parables bring us to the very heart of the Gospel. As we discussed yesterday here at the Basilica of St. Therese in Lisieux on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, Jesus' love for us was so great that He allowed Himself to be lifted up like a serpent upon the cross to take away our sins and the sins of the whole world. Christ came, as St. Paul tells us today in the second reading, in order to save sinners, of which He considered Himself the foremost. St. Therese wished not only to be a recipient of that great grace of salvation, but someone who shared Christ's thirst to share His mercy, uniting herself in all she did as small little flowers to Christ's love for us upon the cross and Christ's love for others upon the cross. The great wisdom of St. Therese's little way of spiritual childhood is in living the essential attitude Jesus is calling each of us to in the background for this parable of the prodigal son. Not only the most powerful story in the Gospel, but the most powerful story ever told. And it's the story of our salvation. When many look at the sin of the younger brother in today's powerful parable, they see the life of debauchery, wasting his inheritance with prostitutes and living lower than the pigs whom Jews considered unclean animals. But much happened before those sins of the flesh. There had been a death already in his heart. It was treating the father as if the father were already dead. Give me now the share of my inheritance that will come to me when you croak. That's what he was saying. You're dead to me, Dad. Give me the money. That's what the gesture to ask for his inheritance meant. This junior son proceeded to waste all that the father had given him in a downward spiral of egocentric hedonism until he was living and behaving worse than swine. Few of us, I think, thanks be to God, are so radical. We know that the father is not dead. We don't want to waste his gifts in a life of sin. But we're all susceptible to the same general tendency to which he succumbed. We want to grow up and leave home. We want to do things on our own, to be less dependent on the father than we were before, and more self-reliant and self-sufficient. For us Americans who pick ourselves up from our own bootstraps and say, no, thank you, I can do it on my own, this is a terrible tendency that can deeply impact our relationship with God. Just like so many kids can't wait to grow up and be out on their own, so we often experience a similar spiritual temptation. Whereas once we used to live with our Father, talk to Him every day in prayer, sacrifice for Him and observe His sacrifice for us, eventually the devil tries to get us spiritually to move out of that home. Sure, we may still love the Father, but we love Him less than we used to. We talk to Him, but only once a week. We visit with Him less than that. When He offers to do something for us, we say, thanks, Dad, I got it covered. Everything begins in losing sense of the most important spiritual attitude a Christian can and must have, which is our divine filiation. That God so loved us that He not only allowed us to be called His sons, but He made us His beloved sons and daughters. And He loves us so much that when He was given the choice between saving our lives or saving Jesus' life, He loved us even more than He loved Jesus, choosing to allow Jesus to die so that we wouldn't die forever. But the main point of Jesus' parable was about the older brother, because he was the one who represented the Pharisees and the scribes, who at the beginning of this passage took offense and complained that Jesus welcomes sinners and even eats with them. Jesus was giving the parable to bring them to conversion. And in the older brother, who represents the scribes and the Pharisees, we see the very same root of sin that we find in the younger son. He doesn't really know the father either. When the younger son hit rock bottom and decided to come home with his rehearsed speech about how he had sinned against heaven and against his father, begging to be treated and fed just as a slave, he had no real concept of the love of the father, as if a loving father could ever once treat his son as a slave. Prior to his leaving, however, that's what he obviously thought, that living in the Father's house was a type of servitude. And we see that exact same attitude in the older brother, even though he never left. Outraged that the father had killed the fatted calf for the return of his younger brother, he complained, "All these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders." We can almost add right there, "Master," rather than "Dad." "Not once did I disobey your orders. And yet not once did you even give me a young goat to feast on with my friends." Just as he didn't have a familial relationship with his father, so he didn't have one with his brother either. Saying instead, "When this son of yours returns," he couldn't even call him his brother. No wonder why he couldn't understand the father's joy that his lost son had been found. His dead son had come to life again. For him, his brother was just a fellow slave, a fellow employee, a housemate. His coming home was like a broken tools being fixed so that you could use it again. It wasn't the spiritual resurrection of a beloved family member. So many times we can relate to God the Father in the same way, treating him as just some distant deity, just wanting to punish us for every transgression. Someone whom we obey at the risk of penalty or simply out of duty, but never someone we really let love us as madly as he wants to love us. Someone whom we never truly love in return. And that leads to so many problems with others, whom we view not as spiritual siblings close to us by baptism than our natural brothers and sisters are to us by blood, but as this son of yours, this daughter of yours, who has wronged us and doesn't deserve mercy, not to mention a celebration. Saint Therese teaches us the solution to this spiritual cancer that fails to take seriously our divine filiation, to base our entire life on letting God the Father love us in His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit and seeking to love Him in return. Saint Therese lived at a time in which so many within the church were like the older brother in the parable. It was a time of a heresy called Jansenism, which is a Catholic form of Calvinism that related to God as a cold and distant figure full of laws and rules, of whose graces we could never be worthy. And therefore, the religious life, the Christian life, was just about doing our duties and offering ourselves as victims to divine justice so that He doesn't exact on us the punishment that we and others deserve. Jansenism was a paralyzing fear of God and of His judgment that failed to grasp the depth of the love of God and lived in fear by this multiplication of religious obligations, never really grasping the joy that comes with the mercy of God. which leads heaven to celebrate more over one sinner's return than over 99 saints' virtues. In response to this, God raised up in her the little way of spiritual childhood, which is a way of conversion to the essential aspect of our Christian life. Elsewhere in the Gospel, Jesus told each of us, unless you convert, which literally means turn totally around and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. That we, if we're ever going to get to heaven, need to become truly childlike. And that doesn't mean childish. The Lord calls us, like Jesus according to his humanity, to grow in wisdom and understanding and to come to full stature in Christ. He does call us to grow up. He calls us to mature. But as we mature, we become smaller. We become more childlike. What does that mean? To become like little children means to return to our true loving dependence on the Father and begin to let him to continue to raise us, to become perfected as he is perfect, to become as merciful as he is merciful, to receive our true inheritance from him, which is the riches of his mercy, and not squander it, but share it. Saint Therese wrote about this little way. To remain little before God is to recognize one's nothingness, to expect all good things from the good God, just as a little child expects all things from his father. To be little is not attributing to oneself the virtues one practices. It's not to become discouraged over one's faults, for children fall often, but they're too little to hurt themselves too much when they fall, because they're not falling from high promontories. Once we grasp that we're poor little children, then we learn how to relate to God, and particularly his merciful love. Talking about God's mercy, Saint Therese encouraged everyone to follow her lead and to grasp God not by the hand, but to grasp God directly by the heart. She said, consider a small child who's displeased his mother by flying into a rage or perhaps disobeying her. If he sulks in the corner and screams in fear of punishment, his mother will certainly not forgive his fault. But if he comes to her with his little arms outstretched, smiling and saying, kiss me, I won't do it again, surely his mother will immediately press him tenderly to her heart, forgetting all that he has done. Of course, she knows quite well that her dear little boy will do it again at the first opportunity. But that doesn't matter, Saint Therese says, because if he takes her by the heart, he will never be punished. And she drew a conclusion. I have long believed that the Lord is more tender than the tenderest mother. I know that a mother is always ready to forgive trivial and voluntary misbehavior on the part of her child. Children are always causing trouble, falling down, getting themselves dirty, breaking things. But all this doesn't shake their parents' love for them, nor do our faults shake God's love for us. Saint Therese was able to have this childlike confidence in God and in his love because she understood the whole meaning of the Incarnation. Saint Therese de l'Enfant Jésus, she always pondered the meaning of Jesus becoming a little baby. Saint Therese once wrote that she couldn't understand how anyone could ever be afraid of a God who loved us so much that he became a little helpless baby. God became small precisely that we would never be intimidated by him, so that we could never be afraid of him. Saint Therese teaches in her little way of spiritual childhood that none of us is perfect in following the Lord, that we all need the Father's mercy. But as Pope Francis loves to repeat, Dio non si stanca di perdonarci. God never tires of forgiving us. We've just got to never tire of asking for His forgiveness. And this total confidence in God's mercy comes through radiantly in her poems. Many of her poems have been set to music, and my favorite among all of them, which I've been singing for 16 years, goes like this. Moi si je vais commis tous les crimes possibles, je garderai toujours la même confiance, car je sais bien que cette multitude d'offenses n'est qu'une goutte d'eau dans un brasier ardent. If I had committed all possible sins, I would still have the same confidence, because I know so well that this whole multitude of offenses is nothing more than a drop of water in the blazing furnace of the Father's merciful love. All the sins we've ever committed, all the sins that the world has ever committed, is small in comparison with the enormous love of God, that our misery is nothing in comparison to His mercy. Should never forget that. When Blessed John Paul II came here for the first time in 1980, he called Saint Thérèse our saint, a saint for our times, and confessed that that was always the way he looked to her in his own life. He grasped that the fundamental mystery, the reality of the gospel, is that we have truly received a spirit of adoption that makes us cry out, Abba, Father. The little way, he continued, this way of holy childhood points to something that can't be more fundamental and universal, that God is our Father and that we are His beloved children, and He will never stop loving us with His merciful heart. To be a child, John Paul II said here, to become like a child means to enter into the heart of God's love and God's greatest mission, the mission to which Christ has called each of us, which is to recognize one is God's beloved son or daughter, and just like Jesus, the 12-year-old boy in the temple, to be occupied with the Father's affairs. And the chief mission of the Father in sending the Son, and together with Him sending the Holy Spirit, is to remind us of the Father's undying merciful love. That's the mission Saint Thérèse took up so passionately that even though she never left her Carmel, she was named a co-patroness of the missions with Saint Francis Xavier, because she always prayed for the success of this mission of mercy. To proclaim the gospel, to share our faith, is to share that God loves us that much, and that we shouldn't be afraid of God, that we should come to receive that incredible gift. Rather than being like the older brother in the parable, who resented rather than rejoiced in the Father's mercy, Saint Thérèse lived out her whole life begging for that mercy for herself and others. In the Cathedral of Saint-Pierre here in Lisieux, you've got the confessional in which she went to confession for the first time and so many times after that, because she knew how much she needed God's mercy. But it was also here in Lisieux, before she ever entered the Carmel, that she got word of Pranzini, that convict on death row, waiting to be executed. And just like Moses interceded for the Israelites in today's first reading, she sacrificed and prayed for Pranzini for days before his scheduled execution, and then right before he died, he asked for a crucifix and kissed it three times, which she took as a sign from above that her plaintive appeal had been heard. She helped pray Pranzini to become a second good thief and steal God's mercy at the very last second of his life. That's what Saint Therese is praying for you and for me this morning. We might not have committed the spectacular crimes that Pranzini did, but we are equally in need of God's mercy. Saint Therese said right before she died that she was going to spend her heaven doing good on earth. And praying for God's mercy is the greatest good of all, the greatest roses she showers down from above. We know she's interceding for us now for this very grace. Let us open our hearts to receive it. Let us take advantage of the graces on this pilgrimage, not only to go to confession. Please know that Father Nick and I are very open to hear your confessions. When we get to some of these other sanctuaries, we'll have an opportunity again, especially in Lourdes. Don't just go to confession, but ask Saint Therese's help to make the best confession of your life, a confession like you made with all your heart when you were still spiritually childlike, because that's the essence of the gospel that Saint Therese wants to lead us on, especially here. God's mercy is his greatest gift, and when we receive that mercy well, it is what gives God, gives the Blessed Mother, Saint Therese, and all the saints the greatest joy of all in heaven. That is what gives all the angels the greatest joy in heaven. And it's what gives a penitent here on earth the greatest joy to the soul. This is the path of spiritual childhood. This is the little way on which Saint Therese wants to lead us, all the way home to the Father's house in heaven, where he's prepared for us a celebration, not with a fattened calf, but with a lamb, looking as if he has been slain. That same lamb who in a few minutes we will be so privileged to receive. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus in the Holy Face, intercede for us.